Good afternoon, everyone. It's been a very pleasant Sunday today that God has given to us in order to remember Him, glorify Him, and to praise Him, and also to think about the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because without that, we can never be a children of God. So, thank you, God, for giving us this opportunity on this day to remember about these things. Today in our lesson, we will be discussing about few spiritual advices from the Bible. We may already know about all these points, but still, I think to take this opportunity to once again highlight some points that we might have been doing in our life, but still it will be very helpful for us in case if we are not doing any of these. So today I'll be giving some overview about two parables of Jesus Christ and about the fruits of the Spirit and a few general points that we have to do in our life, in our spiritual life. So the first parable that we are going to discuss is about the kingdom of heaven, which we can read from the book of Matthew chapter 13 verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44.
I will try to translate a little bit. Just if you say a piece, I will try to summarize.
Okay.
We zullen dus vandaag, heeft Pravin gezegd, wat nadenken over een paar geestelijke punten. We zullen twee parabels gaan zien, we zullen het ook hebben over de vruchten van de geest en wat lessen die we daaruit kunnen trekken. En de eerste parabel die we zullen zien is Matthäus hoofdstuk 13, vanaf vers 44.
The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. So here we see an example containing about the kingdom of heaven, which is being compared to a treasure. A man who found it, he didn't have the ability to take away the treasure because he doesn't own that land. So what he did, he went back home. And he sold everything, whatever he had, and he bought that land. So this example, what we can infer from this example is, the kingdom of heaven is the treasure. And for us, we need to get rid of all the inabilities and the iniquities what we have in this world. We may be doing a lot of sins, we might have been doing in the past, and sometimes we do it even today. But we need to decide, in order to take away the treasure, I need to go back to myself saying that I will get rid of all my bad qualities because I am going to take the treasure. So for us, we have two comparisons. The kingdom of treasure is the treasure for us, kingdom of heaven, and our own life. So if we concentrate on our spiritual life, we need to wash away, we need to get all the bad qualities what we have today in our life, so that we can have the kingdom of heaven, which is the treasure for us. So this is a very important lesson in this spiritual life, what we live today, for us to decide what we want. Do we need the treasure, or do we need to still continue with the bad qualities and the not a good life that what we do today? So this is a very good comparison for us, and we need to ensure that we get the treasure.
Dus we zijn hier in die gelijkenis van het koninkrijk der hemelen, die wordt hier vergeleken met een schat die verborgen is in een akker. Een mens ontdekt die schat, die gaat terug naar huis en die verkoopt alles wat hij heeft om die akker waar die schat is te kunnen kopen. En de geestelijke toepassing is dat wij in ons leven moeten onderzoeken wat is voor ons het belangrijkste. En dan moeten wij ook bereid zijn om alle slechte eigenschappen die wij in ons leven hebben, om die prijs te geven, om uiteindelijk het koninkrijk der hemelen te kunnen verwerven.
So, There are some people who have not found the treasure, but for us as a Christians, we know what is the treasure. The eternal life, the kingdom of heaven is the treasure for us. So like this man who sold away all his property, whatever he had for him in order to get the treasure. So for us, we also need to do the same thing. In order to have the treasure, we need to sacrifice some things in our life.
Dus we moeten offers brengen. Er zijn mensen die niet weten wat het koninkrijk der hemelen is, maar voor ons christenen, wij weten dat het leven hier namaals, dat is de schat waarvoor wij leven. En dus zo belangrijk moet het koninkrijk der hemelen voor ons zijn, zoals het was voor deze man die alles verkocht om dat te kunnen verwerven.
So this is a very good lesson for us today. And the second point, the second parable that we are going to discuss is about forgiving others. Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 18.
Matthäus 18.
Verses from 23 until 35.
18 vers 23 tot 35.
Before we read these verses, let us examine ourselves. How do we forgive others? There might have been many people who have done something wrong towards us, but are we really kind enough to forgive others? But basically, Jesus, in the teachings of Jesus, it says to be a proper Christian, to live according to the doctrine of Christ, we should be able to forgive others, whatever it may be, the thing that they have done bad to us, but we should forgive others. That's the lesson what we are going to read today.
Dus een tweede punt waar we bij stil gaan staan is vergeving. En voordat we de gelijkenis gaan lezen, is het belangrijk dat we onszelf onderzoeken. Hoe wij staan tegenover mensen die ons verkeerd hebben gedaan. Zijn wij bereid hen te vergeven of niet? En daar gaan we ook verder over nadenken.
But before that, we should also remember that God has forgiven us. We have done a lot of bad things, but still God was very generous enough, kind enough to forgive away our sins. So that is nothing when compared to what we forgive others. So that's a very great blessing that we have received from God, that He has forgiven away all our sins, what we have done in our life. Likewise, He is also expecting us to forgive others in this life.
En daarbij moeten we dan ook denken dat wij een veel grotere schuld hadden tegenover God en dat God ons vergeven heeft. En de schuld die onze medemens tegenover ons zou kunnen hebben, is belangen niet zo groot als onze eigen schuld tegenover God.
So in this verses from 23, we will see an example that Jesus Christ teaches to us, to the audience. Verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. So here we see a situation. The king wants to get back the money that he has given to his servant, but he is not able to repay what he has owned. So the king orders him that he needs to sell everything, his wife, his children, and whatever he had. He has to sell everything and need to repay the king.
We lezen hier dat er een koning is die een afrekening wil houden met zijn slaven. En er is een slaaf die een schuld bij hem heeft, maar die kan die niet terugbetalen. Dus geeft de koning de opdracht om zijn vrouw, de kinderen, alles te verkopen, opdat hij toch zijn schuld zou kunnen terugbetalen.
So what does the servant do? Verse 26. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. So here we see the king who is very kind enough to cancel all the debts, whatever the servant has to pay, because he was so kind enough, he had pity on him. Okay, I will forgive you whatever you owe me, so you can go as free. So this is the kindness, this is the forgiveness of the king towards the servant. Likewise, even in our life, we see that God is forgiving us because we have a lot of things to be paid back, but God forgave us.
De slaaf die reageert dan als volgt daarop dat hij zijn heer om genade vraagt, heb medelijden, heb geduld met mij. En dan zien we ook dat de heer hem genade geeft en hem een kwijtschulding van zijn schuld ook geeft. En zo zien we ook de gelijkenis dat God hetzelfde met ons doet. Wij hadden een schuld die we nooit niet kunnen terugbetalen en God heeft ons die vergeven.
Now we'll see what does that servant do when he goes back to home. Verse
28.
But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. We see the activity of the king towards this servant and what this servant does to his fellow servant. And you need to compare the money that we are seeing in these two examples. The servant has to owe 10,000 talents to the king, but his fellow servant has to give him 100 denarii. So we see a very great difference of the money that is being spoken here. But we also need to think about the attitude of the servant and the king. So verse 29. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. The same thing the servant did to his king. He begged him, please give me some time, I will get back to you whatever I have to pay to you. Same as the situation, but let's concentrate on verse 30. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. What did the servant do? He was not willing to forgive his fellow servant. He was in a similar situation a few minutes back. He should have thought about it that king forgave him, but now he is not willing to forgive.
Dus we zien hier dat die slaaf, nadat hij die grote schuld was kwijtgescholden, weggaat en komt een andere slaaf tegen die ook een schuld bij hem had. Maar die schuld was veel kleiner als de schuld die hij had ten opzichte van zijn heer. Maar hoe reageert de slaaf tegenover zijn medeslaaf? Hij laat die in de gevangenis gooien, hij grijpt die bij zijn keel en die zegt, je moet mij alles betalen wat je mij verschuldigd ziet. Dus we zien duidelijk een verschillende houding van de heer tegenover zijn slaaf en dan van de slaaf, van die slaaf tegenover zijn medeslaaf. De heer toonde genade en hij toonde geen genade voor die kleine schuld.
Do we do the same in our life? We have received the forgiveness from God, but are we willing to forgive others who have done something bad in our lives? But God is expecting us to be like Him. He forgave us a lot of sins for us, but He is also willing that we should also have the mentality, the kindness enough to forgive others. Let's read through the remaining verses and see what happens to the servant for the things that he has done. Verse 31. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he paid back all he had owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. So this is a very good example. And maybe this might be the punishment we might receive when God sees us when we do it. When we are not willing to forgive our brothers, our neighbors, our friends, and expecting God to forgive us our sins, this is the punishment that we might receive, that like the servant who was tortured and he was put in the jail until he needs to pay back everything.
Zijn wij misschien ook soms zoals die slaaf, dat wij onze medemens niet bereid zijn te vergeven, hoewel we weten dat God onszelf zoveel heeft vergeven, maar dan moeten we ook concluderen dat Jezus een waarschuwing geeft indien wij zo handelen, dat het lot van zo'n mensen is die zal delen in het lot van, in vers 34, we zien dat de meester toornig werd op die slaaf en die geeft hij in de handen van de folteraars totdat hij hem al het verschuldigde zou betaald hebben. Dus Jezus zegt dan ook in vers 35, al zo zal mijn hemelse vader u doen, indien gij niet in ieder zijn broeder van harte vergeeft. Dus wij moeten bereid zijn om onze medemens, onze broeder, onze zuster, wie dan ook, van harte te willen vergeven, willen wij niet hetzelfde lot als deze man gaan krijgen.
So this is a very good lesson that we need to assess in our daily lives, are we doing it or not? If we are not doing it, let us think about the verse 35, that our Heavenly Father will also treat each one of us like how we assess our brothers. So this is a very good lesson that we need to understand and put into practice in our daily life. And the third thing that I wanted to discuss is about the fruits of the Spirit, which we can read from the book of Galatians,
Galatians,
chapter 5, verses 22 and 23.
Later hoofdstuk 5, vers 22 tot 32. Galatians
5,
vers
chapter 23 and
22 and 23. Oh, verse 22. Later 5, vers 22 en 23. Na de brief van Corinthiërs.
Vers
22. Vers 22 en 23.
Here Paul explains about the fruit of the Spirit. So we can read it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So as a Christian, in order to portray ourselves to the outside world that I am a Christian and I am living a Christian life, a life which a Christian has to follow in this world, we should possess all these fruits of the Spirit. This is what Paul is explaining to the Galatians.
We zien hier in deze verse, daar staat, maar de vrucht van de geest is liefde, blijdschap, vrede, langmoedigheid, vriendelijkheid, goedheid, trouw, zachtmoedigheid, zelfbeheersing. Tegen zodanige mensen is de wet niet. Dus als christen moeten wij deze eigenschappen bezitten. Deze eigenschappen moeten zichtbaar zijn in ons leven.
But how many of these fruits do we have today? How many of these fruits do we possess as a Christian? Do I have love? Do I have self-control? Do I have the joyness, the patience, the kindness? If we have everything, we can say that we can be proud enough to say that I have all the fruits of the Spirit and I am living a Christian life. But how many of them we have from this list? Or in case, if we do not have them, what are the efforts that we have taken in our life to get these things? Because we need this in our life.
Dus we moeten ons de vraag stellen, hebben wij deze eigenschappen? Kunnen mensen in ons leven zien dat wij liefde hebben, blijdschap, vrede, geduld, zachtmoedigheid, zelfbeheersing? Dus we moeten onszelf daarin ook durven op de proef stellen.
So these are the fruits of the Spirit. And in verse 19 until 21, we read about the acts of the sinful nature in this world. But what will happen when we do all these things, when we read from 19 till 21, in the last part of the verse 21, we can see that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are the acts of the sinful nature, but for us as a Christians, we should have the fruits of the Spirit, which we can conclude that when we have these things, we can inherit the kingdom of God.
Dus in de versen 19 tot 21, daar kunnen wij lezen over de zondige kenmerken. En op het einde van vers 21 zien we ook, als we die lijst hebben gelezen, dat mensen die dingen doen, die zullen het koninkrijk Gods niet beërven. Dus moeten we de vergelijking maken, welke eigenschappen zijn zichtbaar in ons leven.
So this is a very good important lesson that we need to learn for today. And the next point that I have few general topics that I wanted to discuss. The first thing is, we can go to 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 12.
2 Timotheus, hoofdstuk 3, vers 12.
Because sometimes in our life we feel that there are more trials, more troubles, more persecutions which are kept for us. Sometimes when we compare our life with our friend's life or the life of a neighbor, we see that they are more happier.
2 Timotheus hoofdstuk 3 vers 22.
That they are more happier, they do not have these troubles in their life.
2 Timotheus 3 vers 12, sorry.
So here Paul writes to Timothy saying that in verse 12 we read, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So when we find that we have more trials, when we find that in our life we have more troubles, this verse says that we are subjected to these things. When we try to live a godly life, we will have troubles in our life. It's a normal behavior that our life is more troublesome when we compare to other non-believers.
Soms als we ons leven als een gelovige vergelijken met dat van mensen die niet geloven, dan moeten we toch vaak vaststellen dat een gelovige verdrukking kent. En dit vers leert ons ook dat ons dat eigenlijk niet moet bevreemden, want iemand die godsvruchtig wil leven, die zal vervolging kennen, zegt Paulus.
But sometimes we get very frustrated. Why this is happening to me, not for others? My friend doesn't have it, my neighbor doesn't have it, but I, for me, my family, in this world, I have all these many number of trials and these many number of troubles. But we should ensure that these things are normal, that when you try to be a very godly person in your daily life, you will have these troubles. So we need to ensure that we should have faith in God and we should continue to do what God is expecting from us.
Dus wanneer we zien dat onze vrienden, onze kennissen, onze buren die vervolging niet kennen en wij wel op de proef worden gesteld door die vervolgingen, dan is dat een teken dat wij ons best doen om godsvruchtig te leven.
During these troublesome times, what we should do, because Jesus Christ has set an example for us, how he lived in this world, he had many troubles and how did he handle all those situations, we can read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3.
Hoe Jezus met die vervolging omging, kunnen we lezen in Hebreeën hoofdstuk 12, vers 3.
Consider him.
Hebreeën 12, vers 3.
So during those troublesome times, let us think about these verses. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So for us, Jesus Christ is a very good example that we should not live our hope, we should not lose our heart, that I have these many number of troubles in our life. Jesus Christ didn't do it, and we should have an example, we should see what Jesus did and we should also have the same mentality in our life.
Dus dit vers leert ons dat wij onze aandacht op Jezus moeten vestigen, omdat hij ons dat voorbeeld heeft gegeven, dat hij de hoop niet heeft opgegeven, dat hij niet zwak werd of dat hij zich niet liet overmeesteren door de angst en de verdrukking, maar hij bleef kijken op wat voor zich lag.
Like Jesus did, like Jesus stood fast and he didn't lose his hope. Likewise, we also should do it. And when we do it, what is the reward that we get from our Lord? We can see it from James chapter 1 and verse 12.
En wat daar het gevolg van zal zijn, dat kunnen we lezen in Jacobus of James chapter.
First chapter and verse 12.
Jacobus 1 vers 12.
Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, Because when he has stood the test, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So this verse ensures that there is a reward, there is a prize that has been kept for us when we undergo all these trials and when we pass these tests. The one who stood the test and passes it, God is really has promised that he will bless us.
Dus in het vers lezen we dat de mens die volhardt in de verzoeking, die zal, wanneer die de proef heeft doorstaan, zal hij van God de kroon des levens ontvangen. En die kroon des levens heeft God beloofd aan al degenen die hem lief hebben.
Then another important lesson from the same chapter, verse 19.
Jacobus 1, vers 19.
My dear brothers, take note of this.
Vers 19.
My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. For us, almost everyone should do this, but in practical life it is very difficult to do it. Like everyone are very fast enough to get angry, very fast enough to get frustrated, and we never listen to anyone. But as per this verse, we see that we should be quick enough to listen to what is being said to us. We should be slow to speak, think what we are going to speak, and we should be slow to become angry. Because it says, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires.
Dus dit vers leert ons ook een belangrijke les, dat elk mens langzaam moet zijn om te spreken, maar snel moet zijn in het horen. Langzaam moet zijn om toornig te worden, omdat de toorn van een mens brengt geen gerechtigheid voor God voort. Dus moeten we onszelf onderzoeken, zijn wij mensen met een kort lontje, of zijn wij mensen die niet vlug kwaad worden?
So we should live our lives according to the God's will, and anything that doesn't satisfy him should never be done. So it is better to think and act wise according to the verse 19.
Dus het is goed en verstandig om te handelen zoals de woorden van Jacobus 1 vers 19 ons leert.
And we'll continue with verse 25.
Vers 25.
23 until 25.
Vers 23 tot 25.
So until now, we have been listening many biblical advices, many things that we can learn from today. But if we listen to these things and when we do not practice this, what is the consequence? And when we do it, what is the consequence? We are going to see two things from verses from 22 until 25. We'll see one by one.
Dus wanneer we die woorden vandaag al allemaal gehoord hebben over goede geestelijke raad, over hoe wij moeten leven, maar wanneer wij dan daar niet naar zouden gaan toepassen, dus we hebben dat wel gehoord, maar we luisteren daar niet naar, wat dan de gevolgen daarvan zijn, dat lezen wij in de verzen 23 tot 25.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So here we see an example. A person who listens to these verses, these biblical advices, and if he is not willing to do it, he is like a man who sees the mirror for quite some time and looks, okay, I'm looking good, everything is good. And when he moves away from the mirror, he forgets of how he was looking. Like mostly women do it, like all the day. They have a lot of makeup, they do something, but after a while they forget how they are looking. So every now and then they need to see the mirror, okay, they are looking good or not. This is normal, eh? But spiritually speaking, that a man who doesn't do this, he is comparing with the person who looks at the mirror and forgets how he looks.
Dus hier wordt ook een gelijkenis gegeven dat iemand die wel hoort naar het woord, maar niet doet naar het woord, die lijkt op iemand die naar de spiegel kijkt, die ziet hoe die eruit ziet, maar wanneer van die spiegel weggaat, dan vergeet hij hoe die eruit zag. En de gelijkenis wordt gemaakt dat het is iets wat vrouwen wel vaker doen. Vrouwen kijken vaak in de spiegel, doen wat make-up op. En als ze dan weg zijn van de spiegel, vergeten ze eruit zien en willen ze terug naar de spiegel gaan om te kijken of ze zich moeten bijsminken of niet.
But when we listen to these verses and when we try to do these things, when we can read in verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. This is indeed a wonderful spiritual blessing that God has kept for us. When we listen to these verses and when we try to do it in our spiritual life, we will be really blessed in whatever we do.
Dus in vers 25 lezen we dan hoe het dan wel moet zijn. Dus iemand die zich verdiept in de volmaakte wet van de vrijheid, dus de wet van Christus, en die daarbij blijft, dus niet iemand die hoort, maar dan vergeet wat hij heeft gehoord, maar iemand die werkelijk gaat doen wat die wet zegt, zo iemand zal zalig zijn in zijn doen.
And the last point of today's lesson is about controlling and taming the tongue. We'll quickly go to Matthew.
Het laatste punt vandaag zal gaan over het controleren van de tong. En daar lezen we in Matthäus hoofdstuk 12.
Verse 36.
Vers 36. Matthäus hoofdstuk 12.
Chapter 12, verse 36.
Vers 36. Matthäus 12, vers 36.
But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So we should be very careful enough to speak, which is fruitful enough for others, and each and every careless word that we speak in our daily life will be accounted for the judgment. And according to these verses, we will be condemned.
Dus hier lezen we in vers 36 en 37 van Matthäus 12 dat ieder mens van elk ijdel woord dat hij spreekt, zal die rekenschap moeten geven op de dag van het oordeel. En naar hoe wij gesproken hebben, zullen wij ofwel gerechtvaardigd worden, ofwel veroordeeld worden. Dus wij moeten allemaal heel goed opletten hoe wij spreken en wat wij zeggen.
And the last verse of today's lesson, James chapter 3, verses 3 until 6.
Het laatste vers voor vandaag, Jacobus hoofdstuk 3, vers 3 tot 6.
So here we read few verses about how we need to control our tongue.
Jacobus hoofdstuk 3, vers 3 tot 6. Jacobus hoofdstuk 3, vers 3 tot 6.
When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. So these verses explains what is the consequences when we do not control our tongue. Like we saw an example of ship, it might be so big enough, but still the pilot, he controls the ship with the anchor, even though it's very small when compared to the size of the ship. Likewise, the tongue may be a smallest part of a body, but still it can take away the whole body to hell if we do not control it. But on the other way, it can help you to praise God and to speak about good things about God, which can help you to go to the eternal life.
Dus we zien hier woorden over de tong, en er wordt een gelijkenis gegeven van een paard die kan gecontroleerd worden door die een toom in de bek te leggen. We zien ook een schip dat door een klein roer kan gestuurd worden, een heel groot schip door zo'n klein roer kan gestuurd worden. En zo is ook de tong iets heel klein in ons lichaam, maar dat heel grote gevolgen kan hebben. Enerzijds dat het ervoor kan zorgen, door als wij goddeloos spreken, dat ons hele lichaam naar de hel zal gaan. Maar als we onze tong zouden gebruiken om God te verheerlijken en om goede dingen te spreken, dat we het eeuwig leven daardoor kunnen beërven.
Because sometimes we praise our Lord with the same tongue and we also curse many men with the same. This is not possible. Out of the same mouth we praise and do the cursing.
Dus soms gebruiken we onze tong om God te loven en anderzijds gebruiken we diezelfde tong om mensen af te breken en slecht te spreken. En dat kan zo niet zijn.
So these are the lessons we might have already known, but I just took this opportunity to highlight the same again, in case which we might have been not been doing it. But God has kept more blessings for the one who listens to these verses and who also puts it into practice. I know that these commandments are a little bit difficult for each and everyone, but still let us take effort to do this in our spiritual life.
Dus dat zijn misschien woorden die we vandaag gehoord hebben, die we allemaal wel kennen, maar het is goed om die nog eens gehoord te hebben en om onszelf daarin te onderzoeken als wij daarna leven, want dat is God welgevallig, dat wij luisteren naar die woorden.
Amen.
Amen.